This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakwood Heart Talk and Text line, we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Mark, thanks so much for joining us. I'll get your reaction to news sort of broke this morning. Mike Garofalo with the NFL Network, that Eric McCoy out with the groin injury, off surgery, missing 6 to 8 weeks. Charlie and I have talked about this in all our draft breakdowns of just how difficult that center position is. People think, oh, the guy just snaps the ball. Man, he got a lot more responsibility than that. So as a former offensive lineman, I'll let you explain how big a loss it is when you lose a guy like McCoy who was playing at a Pro Bowl level.
Yeah. It's very disappointing. There's no question about that. Also tough. You know, it's an exceptionally hard position, and especially the way they play in the NFL right now, where you're putting a lot of five down fronts, and you know, pretty much like a majority of the teams are kind of playing this five down front. The Saints are one that doesn't really do it, but everybody else seems to play this 3-4 defense. But it's kind of a four-man front or a five-man front. So they play the four down or the three down guys, and then they'll cover you up, and then they'll put outside linebackers on the edge as well. So it's a five-down front. So in doing that, the center is usually always covered. There's always kind of a nose on the center. And so you got to have a guy that really not only can snap the ball, obviously, but a guy that can block people. Why snap the ball? And then your ability to snap the ball and then reach a guy, you know, if you're going to the right or the left and the guy's in your right, you know, right shade gap, you got to reach that guy and you got to get to the edge of that guy and basically cut him off from being a, you know, being an effective player in the run on that side. So it's a lot. Then the other thing is also is, you know, it all starts with the center as far as calling the, you know, the run game assignments, the pass game assignments. It kind of starts from the center. We pass those things down, and everybody communicates. All five guys communicate. All five guys have different things they look at. But normally it's the center that kind of starts that conversation. So a lot of different things that go on into that position, and it's one of those positions that you don't really think about until you don't have the guy, and then you know, it becomes a very difficult kind of difficult issue to overcome.
Mark, one of the things, not only did we see a five-man front against the Eagles, Vic Fangio, who's an old pal of Bobby and I's, and Vic was here when they had the Dome Patrol defense, and we would always tease him about, man, what? You know, Vic, come on, you had the easiest job in the world. He was like, guys, listen, I wasn't coaching. But he said, part of coaching is pointing a guy in the right direction. I knew how to point those four guys in the right direction. They knew how to play. It was just me pointing them in the right direction. We saw Vic Fangio come up with a 6-1 scheme against the Saints, basically saying, I dare you to run the ball. There's no gap. We're going to fill up every one. And he ran six across the board, one linebacker. And it would have been a big part of the Saints' attack in running the football. Fangio's defense, and man, he got great play. Now, I give full credit here. Jalen Carter, he came to play. Now, he don't do that every week, but when he wants to, man, he's a man out there on the field. And Jordan Davis, all I'd heard was people in Philly complain about all he does is lean on people. Well, he was doing a lot more than that Sunday. You saw they really beat the Saints up front defensively in the Saints' offensive line. But that they ran that six-man front, and that was sort of a new wrinkle what you saw with the Eagles done with just really one linebacker.
Yeah, always, you know, always tough. And you're right. Those guys, you know, I looked at that. I thought the Saints were going to win that game at home just because of the way they played, the physicality that they played with. And obviously it was a very tight game. You had the one breakout run by Saquon Barkley, but, you know, a tightly matched game. And anytime you're getting that kind of defense thrown at you, you're going to have some one-on-one opportunities in the passing game that they just did not seem to take advantage of. So always tough. I think one of the tough things about facing a scheme, this happened to us when I was playing with Denver, and New England came in and beat us one year. New England wasn't that great a team at the time. But it was late. It was kind of late 90s. And so, you know, it was before Brady and, anyhow, they ended up playing a kind of a goal line front on us. They called it a dolphin front. It was part of their goal line package. And, you know, it takes you a couple of series where you come to the sideline going, okay, what do we run? Like, not only what are they running, okay, but if they're going to run that, then what do we get into? What type of runs do we still try to stick with? How can we exploit it? You know, in a couple of series, the coach is going back and forth with the Polaroid pictures and everything else. Like, it takes a little while to kind of figure out what you want to do and how you want to attack it. So it's not just like, oh, yeah, this is a six-man front, or they're playing a goal line front on us. Let's just go to our goal line place. Well, like, the average fan probably doesn't know this, but in goal line, you run five goal line plays a week in practice. It's not like something like you come in and you go, okay, here's our five goal line things that we're going to run. And you get five reps on Friday for goal line. That's it for the week. So it's not like you got a big giant package of goal line plays that you're going to run, when you face this team. So it becomes one of those things on the sideline where you're just drawing stuff up. And so it's, you know, there's a real challenge to it. And obviously, you know, Philadelphia, and you mentioned it, those guys haven't done much so far this year. And, you know, that was a big challenge game for them, and they came to play. You got to tip your cap to them, for coming up with something. But, I was a little bit shocked. I thought New Orleans would play a lot better.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
Mark, before we get into more of the Saints and what's up next with this game against the Falcons, it's gigantic. I just want to get your thoughts on last night. I mean, Jaden Daniels and the performance that he had against the Bengals in Cincinnati, and obviously their issues are a whole other thing, but Mike and I have talked about this ad nauseum with Jaden so far and early on in his rookie season, just the poise of the young quarterback. He looks like a veteran out there at times, and it's not just, you know, the beautiful deep dimes that he's tossing to Terry McLaurin, but also, you know, the moment that he had where it's fourth down late in the game and he tells, you know, the coaching staff to leave him out on the field, and then he just throws a dart over the middle. The intermediate stuff is working for him, too. I mean, he had more total touchdowns than incompletions last night. Just what have you seen so far from him early on in his career? And just he's such an exciting player. And we talked with Kelsey Nicole Nelson last hour about it, a Fox Sports host, and she works in the D.C. area. And she talked about the hope that he's now brought the Washington Commanders fan base. I think it's a really fun storyline.
And you got him game two.
Yeah.
You had him game two, right, Mark?
Yeah, and I got him this weekend, too. Okay. So I got him in Arizona this weekend. Yeah, you know what? Great kid. Obviously is a professional, you know. I mean, he puts in the time. Dan Quinn called him a key card kid. You know, he's just going to show up the first guy in the building and, you know, last guy to leave type of thing. But he's a student. He's a professional. He wants to be great. And I think one of the cool things about Washington right now is the truth of the matter is, from a talent standpoint, they're probably limited a bit. But there are non-negotiables for Dan Quinn. And some of those non-negotiables were, you know, we're going to play hard for one another, and we're going to be physical. And you've seen those things play out. You've seen those things come to fruition for Dan Quinn and his football team. You saw that last night. The way they run the ball, I think they're the fifth leading team in rushing yards right now in the NFL. I think the yards per carry are really good. They're a physical team, and whatever they lack in talent, they're going to make up for by being tough. And, like, you can win games that way in this league, and you can overcome some lack of talent just by turning things into a street fight. And that's kind of what they've done. And I tell you, the thing that has been really impressive is, you know, watching Jaden Daniels in week one, because I had them week two, and watching him turn down some throws to scramble and trust his legs. You know, week one, I would tell you that there were too many times where he trusted his legs more than he trusted his arm talent and his above the neck reading it out. And there were several throws that you're just like, dude, I talked to him about it. Like, that's the throw you got to make, right? And he goes, absolutely, I got to make that. You know, I got to make that throw, and I don't know why I turned it down. You know, those type of things. Man, that wasn't the case. They talked about it on the broadcast last night, his propensity to run the ball. And I always say this about running type of – or athletic. I shouldn't say running quarterbacks. Athletic quarterbacks. You run because you have to, not because you can. And there's a big difference there. And Jaden Daniels ran because he could week one. It's already gotten to the point where he's only running when he has to. And even when he was scrambling around, you can tell he's like, his attitude is, let me throw it before I have to run it. And yeah, there's some designed runs, you know, where they got first downs on some third down and shorts or some fourth and short. But bottom line is that kid's a professional quarterback. He's a professional player, and it's fun to see. And there's no question, man. I played 6 years in D.C., and they've been devoid of anything that has given that city hope, under the Daniel Snyder era. And this is definitely a different feel to the nation's capital when it comes to football.
Our Insider Calls with Mark Slerf are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Talking about Saints Atlanta, both teams will be without their starting centers, which is unbelievable, but it's the attrition of the NFL. And we see a lot of linemen get hurt. It's the most hurt position out on the football field. Tackles, guard, centers, 1, 2, 3. But, man, Atlanta brings a challenge because of what they have in the middle defensively with Grady Jarrett and also a guy that played a lot of football here in New Orleans, David Onyemata.
Yeah, those guys are really good players. Onyemata is one of those guys that that just probably doesn't get a lot of attention, but is a phenomenal player and really didn't play. Like, growing up, he didn't play. He went to school and decided he was going to be a football player. I mean, it's a crazy story. And he's just really become a top-notch football player. Atlanta, listen, man, Atlanta's sitting at 1-2, I believe.
Yes.
But they're a damn good. They're a damn good football team, and they can run the ball. And they've got talent on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, they're really good. And you know, I looked at the way they ended up losing that game. They didn't get the PI call in the end zone, but they had a fourth down and one where they're running into the red zone to try to put that ball, you know, and score at the end of a game, and they would have left zero time on the clock about for you know, Kansas City to make a comeback. And I hated the play call because it kind of went east and west on the goal line out of split backs, which, you know, anyhow, it doesn't allow you to get downhill very well. So it just is, to me, it was a real crappy call by the coordinator, a really crappy run call. I hate that going sideways to get downhill. And I don't like being in split. I'd rather be in the eye because you can attack the line of scrimmage and it gives you better vision for cutbacks. And so I just hated the play call. I thought the play call was garbage. But the bottom line is that's a good football team. And Saints will have their hands full. Atlanta's a really good team. They're both kind of similarly structured in how physical they can be, how they can run the ball, they can defend that. So it should be a really good matchup.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always enjoy your insights and then enjoy your stuff on television, too. You do a fantastic job.
Thanks, Mark.
I appreciate that. You guys have a great one.
Thanks so much. That was Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.